Luke, the 18th chapter. I want us to think for the next few minutes on the subject of prayer. This is the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ concerning that subject, that we should always pray. The Lord Jesus spake a parable, a whole parable, to this end, to teach us this one subject, that His children, the children of God, should always pray and never to lose heart. And here's His parable, written in the 18th chapter of Luke, and beginning in verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, for this purpose, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, to lose heart. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of my adversaries. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear along with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? As you read the scriptures, you realize that there's two things that God is always encouraging his children to do. Two things. You find this everywhere in the Word of God. One is to believe him. He's always encouraging his people to believe him, to trust him. He moved upon these apostles and these prophets of old and wrote to us an entire book of facts, of history, of truth, of doctrine. And then he turns right around and he says, I cannot lie. I cannot lie. I'm faithful and true. Believe me. He gives us these precious promises, exceeding great and precious promises, and says, believe me. Yes. Believe me. John says it this way. He says, there's many things written which the Lord Jesus Christ did, which is not written in this book. He said, if everything was written of him that could be written, the world itself could not contain the book. But he said, these are written and penned down that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. And that believing you might have life through his name. Thomas, he said, because you've seen me, you believe. But blessed is the man who has not seen me, and yet he believed. He believes the record that God gave of his Son. God is always encouraging us to believe him, to trust him. And secondly, he's always encouraging us to pray. To pray. If this was the only parable, if this was the only place in the Word of God that taught us to pray, it would be enough. If this was the only verse we had to teach us that we should always pray, verse 1 is enough. He spake a parable to this end that men should always pray. That's another thing. If it just said it one time, the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven. And here's what he said. I know the Father. I know him. I was with him. Not just for a while. I was with him before the world was. I was with him back in eternity. I know his heart. I know his desires. I know his will, and he has sent me to encourage you to never faint, but to always pray. That'd be enough, wouldn't it? That would be enough. Jesus Christ came down from heaven, and this is the message that he had for us. We ought always to pray and never to lose heart. Always pray. And as you and I read the Bible from Genesis all the way through the book of Revelations, one thing we find in it, that God's people is a praying people. Wherever you find them, they're praying. Listen to this and see if this isn't so. Anna prayed unto the Lord. Hannah, the mother of Samuel. She prayed unto the Lord in the grief and heaviness of her soul. She sought the Lord. And the Lord heard her and gave her a son. And she prayed again. She prayed again and gave thanks unto him for what he had done. Everywhere we look in the Scriptures, we find out the reason we should pray is because God is a God who hears and answers prayer. Why pray if he doesn't answer it? It was said of Anna, the widow, who lived in the temple, there in Luke chapter 1, that day and night she served the Lord with fasting and with prayer. She prayed unto him. And look what a revelation she had of the Son of God. We're told of David. He said, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." And listen to this. He said, "In the evening, I call on him. In the morning, will I call on him. And at noon, will I pray and cry aloud unto the Lord. And he shall hear my voice." The Lord's people are praying people. Who taught them to pray? The Holy Spirit teaches them to pray. Wherever you find them, they pray. David said again, "At midnight will I rise and give thanks unto the Lord because of his righteous judgment." And then again he said, "Seven times a day will I praise him for his righteous judgment." Remember Daniel? Three times a day he opened his window towards Jerusalem, and he prayed to God. And I tell you, the Lord gave that man visions. He delivered him from the den of lions. The Lord appeared to Jeremiah when Jeremiah was in prison for righteousness' sake. And here's what he said to Jeremiah, "Call upon me, and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not." It was said of the apostles in the early church, "We will give ourselves continually to prayer." I wonder if they remembered Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, where the Lord Jesus taught them, "Pray without ceasing." In Acts chapter 12, when Peter was in prison, it was said that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And you go to the Apostle Paul, our apostle, the apostle of the Gentiles, and he says this, "I cease not to give thanks to God, making mention always in your prayers to God." Praying for you without ceasing. And then he instructs us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. A fellow was talking to me one time about prayer, and he said, "I don't know much about prayer." He said, I just know God knows it anyway." I guess he left it there. Like I didn't know that God knew what we needed. We read our Bibles, we know that God knows. But we read our whole Bibles. And we know the Lord said, "Let your request be made known to God." Pray without ceasing. James said this, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Much. Pray without ceasing. That's the church of God. That's the people of God. Wherever you find them, they're praying people. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the best example that you and I can find in all the Bible, because here He was, a perfect man, and yet He prayed continually. He prayed with His disciples. He prayed for His disciples. He prayed with the multitudes. He prayed in private. We're told that sometimes He woke early before it got day, and He'd go out into a private place to pray. One time we're told that He prayed all night to God. Jesus Christ was a praying man. Brothers and sisters, you and I belong to a family that prays. We belong to a group of people who are citizens of a heavenly country, and they pray. Why do they pray? Because they know that God is a God who hears and answers prayer. And having said all of this, let me say this, that prayer is one of the most difficult works that anybody ever did. The children of God are praying people. But I tell you, prayer is a difficult task, especially when you pray without ceasing and faint not. It's even more difficult. And the Lord Jesus gives us two reasons here for it. One of them is here in verse 7, and one's in verse 8. The first reason is found here in verse 7. Look at it. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him? Look at this. Though He bear long with them. Sometimes it seems like the Lord's enemies and the enemies of His children win the day. They persecute the Lord's people. They are a terrible burden to them. And the Lord is so patient with the enemies of His people. He bears long with them. And sometimes He bears long with His people. He doesn't always hear them and answer their prayer immediately when they pray. Have you ever had anything that really grieved you? I mean, it was an awful burden about you, and you went to the Lord and you prayed about it, and you went back to Him and you prayed about it again, and you never got an answer. Ain't that tough? He bears long. Hannah, Samuel's mother, was barren for years, and the Scripture says she prayed in the grief of her spirit. That was tough. To go pray once or twice or three times about wanting a child, but to do it year after year after year, to continue there and not faint, I tell you, that takes some patience. There's been Christian dads and Christian mothers who have prayed for years for their lost sons and their lost daughters, never to be see them saved in their lifetime. I'm telling you, that's a sore trial, Glenn. It's a sore trial. How often in our forefathers' day has the church been persecuted, and they pleaded with God to deliver them from their persecutors, and God seems to bless the persecution and the persecuted. John Bunyan was one of the greatest preachers, apart from the apostles that ever lived. Had a blind daughter and a poor wife, and they put him in jail in the Bedford prison for 12.5 years. And he prayed, and the church prayed, and his wife prayed, and his little blind daughter prayed. But for 12.5 years, God said no. Just keep on praying. That's tough, ain't it? That's tough. He bears long with them. David was in this awful pit, he called it, a horrible pit. He said, of clay where there was no standing. And he said, I called unto the Lord. I cried unto the Lord. And then I waited patiently. And He brought me up. I tell you, there's waiting. There's waiting. Because He bears long. The second thing that makes prayer difficult, if we're going to continue in it always and not to faint, is found here in the latter part of verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? What kind of faith is He talking about? When He comes again,
Will he find faith on the earth? Well, we know he's going to find the doctrine of faith. If the church is here, then the truth is here. Because she's the pillar and ground of the truth. As long as you've got a church here, you're going to have a group of people who believes the gospel of the grace of Christ. It may come a time where it'll be scarce. And it'll be difficult to find. About getting that way now. But there'll be the doctrine of faith. When Christ comes, the truth's going to be believed. There's going to be the grace of faith because everybody that's saved has the grace of faith. They believe in Christ. They believe this Bible to be infallible. They believe God. What faith is he talking about here? He's talking about the exercise of faith. When the Lord Jesus comes, will he find men exercising their faith? And Bud, that's what it takes to continue in prayer. When God defers, when he waits, when he says, pray on, and you don't find an answer, that's when you have to live exercising your faith. James said this, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. For he gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith. That's the exercise of it. The writer of Hebrews said, he that comes to God must believe that he is. But he didn't stop there, did he? He must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's the exercise of faith. And if you and I are going to pray, and when we don't get the answer, if we're going to continue to pray, I'm telling you what, we're going to have to live upon this truth. God hears prayer. I don't know why he's deferring an answer. But I know this much. He's able. He's able. And boy, when your understanding is so darkened and you don't know, and when there's clouds overhead and it seems like heaven is shut up against you, you can't find one precious promise to lean upon, and things are bad, you'll hear this little voice whisper to your faith, he's able. Pray on. He's able. He's able. Now let's look right quickly at this parable. It's very encouraging. The Lord Jesus gave it to us to encourage us to pray always and never to lose heart. We find these two people. There's two people the Lord told us of. A judge and a widow. A judge and a widow. And I imagine there was a great distance between these two people, don't you? He wasn't a little country judge now that knew the citizens of this little town, but he was a judge in a city. In a city. He was somebody that had the authority to put you in jail, to avenge you, or he had the authority to let somebody else avenge themselves on you. This was a man that people feared. He was a man that probably often took bribes. A wretched judge. We'll see that in a minute. But who was she? Well, she was a poor widow. She had no money. She had no influence. Nothing. And I would suppose that this at least social distance between these two people seems to indicate to me that she was a perfect stranger to this judge. I mean, he probably never laid eyes on this woman until she came into his courtroom one day and began to cry out, avenge me of my adversaries. And he looked back there at her and said, who in the world is that? What's her name? What does she do? Who is this woman coming in here and crying for me to avenge her adversary? But she came to him, even though she was a stranger to him, and he to her. And the Lord Jesus said she never stopped coming to this stranger until finally he granted her what she wanted. How different, dear child of God, is the one that you pray to. You're no stranger to your Father in heaven. The Scripture says the Lord knows them that are his. And look here again what he said in verse 7. Shall not God avenge his own elect? Don't you love the way the Holy Spirit says that? I just wonder sometimes why he doubles these words. He could have said, shall not God avenge His own? And stop there. Or he could have said, shall not God avenge His elect? But it seems like even the Spirit rejoices in this business of God's people being His elect, that He just wants to talk about it and exaggerate it. Shall not God avenge His own elect? I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, every generation that there is from Adam, and I'm sure that will be to the end of this world, you'll find some people in this world who is God's own people. They're His by His choice. He chose them, and He says, you're mine. They're His by election. They're His by redemption, by blood redemption. They're His by effectual calling. And every time they approach unto Him, the Father says, they're mine. You're no stranger to Him. If you're approaching Him to a stranger in prayer, it may be different. But I'm telling you what, when you come to the throne of grace, you're approaching one who has known you before you even had a being. Now, ain't that so? This is my people. I want you to turn with me to Zechariah. And if you haven't marked this verse, hold Luke 13. If you haven't marked this verse, turn over to Matthew. And when you get to Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, and just turn to your left, and you'll see Malachi. And then the next book in the Bible, you'll find Zechariah. And I want you to look at chapter 13 and beginning here in verse 6. And if you haven't marked this in your Bible, mark this. What a blessing this is. Look in verse 6 of Zechariah chapter 13. Remember this when you go to your Father in prayer. And one shall say unto Him, what are these wounds in thy hand? Well, we know who that is, don't we? And he shall answer, these are the wounds which I received in the house of my friends. And the Father says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd. Smite him on the cross. Wound him for the transgressions of my people. And the sheep shall be scattered. And I'll turn my hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and shall die. Oh, how dreadful that is. But look at this. But a third part shall be left. Aren't you glad for elect in love, brothers and sisters? If the Lord hadn't have chosen some of us, all of us would have perished. And look what he says in verse 9. I will bring this third part, this remnant, this elect people. I'll bring them through the fire. And I will refine them as silver is refined. And I'll try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name. And I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. She came to a stranger who never laid eyes on her, didn't know what her name was or anything about her, didn't know what her need was, Glenn. But yet she prevailed with this perfect stranger in prayer. And the Lord Jesus said, how much more you when you come to God who knows you? He knows you. He knows your name. Something else, and he goes even further here in our parable, is this. Not only was she a stranger to him, but we're told of the character of this judge that she came to. Here in verse 6, we're told that he was an unjust judge. He probably took bribes all the time. And if this widow had come with some money in her hand, he'd have probably listened. He was unjust. He's probably a rich man, got rich on taking bribes, perverting justice. But we're told here in the last portion of verse 4 something else about him.
He says in verse 4, and he would not avenge her for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man. Look at this. Here's the kind of fellow this widow came to, and he was so bold that he wasn't ashamed to admit, I don't know God, I don't fear God, I don't recognize God. I tell you, when you come to this judge, you couldn't plead judge for God's sake. For God's sake, have mercy. You'd have said that to this judge, you know what he said to you? We don't believe in God here. You idiot. You believe in God? I don't believe in God. And don't appeal to me by appealing to God's mercy. I don't fear God. I don't recognize Him. I do what I want to do. Don't bring God's name up to me. Oh, he didn't fear God. And the Scripture says here, he did not regard man. He didn't respect man. Here this widow stood, and perhaps she had some tears flowing down her cheeks. Avenge me! He didn't care for those tears. He looked at the rags she was dressed in with contempt. He wished somebody would get her out of his sight. I don't fear God, and I have no respect for you. I don't care what trials or suffering you're going through. I don't care about you. That's the kind of man she came to. And she was so persistent. She kept troubling him until finally he says, give this woman what she wants. Brothers and sisters, what kind of a person do you and I come to? When we come in prayer, is this the kind of judge that we come to? Listen what the Lord Jesus said and how He taught us to pray. He says, when you pray, begin this way, Our Father who art in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven. We're not coming to somebody to whom we're a stranger. And we're not coming to somebody who is indifferent to us and does not care. We're coming to our Father in heaven. I tell you for myself, and you probably can relate to this too. When I have taken my time to begin my prayer and realize who I'm praying to, and my relationship to Him and His relationship to me, I have found as much comfort and encouragement in making that one statement, my Father, as I have in all the rest of my prayer together. Father. I imagine when this poor widow came before this judge, don't you imagine she had some fear? Well, you know she did. She knew the kind of guy that he was. She had to have some apprehension. I'm afraid of this. I fear this judge. But I tell you, when we come to our Father, He's not given us the spirit of bondage to fear, but He's given us the spirit of adoption. And we cry, Father, Father, Father. The Lord Jesus made this statement. This is one of the most wonderful statements I think sometime I ever read. And if you'd like to read it, you can find it over in John chapter 16 in verse 26 and verse 27. But let me quote it to you. He was ready to go to the cross and leave his disciples. And here's what he said to them concerning prayer. In that day, when I've raised from the dead and I ascend back to my Father, in that day, you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you, I will pray the Father. Oh, I'll do that. But there's more than that to encourage you to pray. Not only will I ask the Father, but listen to this. The Father Himself loveth you. Ain't that wonderful? Ain't that wonderful? Ain't that enough, brothers and sisters, to encourage you to pray? The Father loveth you. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. And He's not only our Father, our tender and merciful Father, but He's our righteous Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. When the Lord Jesus prayed, sometime He said, Holy Father,
righteous Father, my righteous Father. I tell you, He does not pervert judgment. He will not look upon a widow and turn her away because she's poor and needy. He pleads the cause of the fatherless and the orphans, the Bible said. And listen to what He says in the book of Lamentations chapter 3. Though He cause grief, yet will He have compassion according to the multitude of His mercy. He does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men to crush under His feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High. Ain't this a wonderful thing? He counts it, brothers and sisters, though you and I are poor and miserable sinners, and God would be free to punish us, even damn us, because of our sin. But He says, I count it your right to approach unto me and plead your cause before my throne. And He said, I would count it to do you wrong if I turned you away. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You come to me and you're in trouble, you're in afflictions, and I just turn a deaf ear to you. That wouldn't be right, He said. I'm a righteous Father. How would you think if one of your children came to you, I don't care how old they were, and they were in need? Do you think it would be your right just to turn them away? You don't, do you? And the Father thinks the same thing about Himself. I'll never do it, He said. If this widow prevailed with such an unjust judge, who had such an arrogant attitude concerning Himself, can you and I not prevail with such a merciful Father who is righteous in all His dealings with His children? Something else concerning this judge and this widow, and this: she didn't have a friend in the court. Sometimes, you know, if a lawyer or a client is going before the judge, they've got a friend of the court. They'll get a friend who knows the judge or acquainted with him, and he writes them a letter of recommendation or something like that. This poor woman had nobody. She didn't have a friend to stand up and say, Judge, I know this woman. She had nobody to care for her. She had to stand by herself and plead her own cause. Is it that way with us? We got a friend in the courtroom. We have a mediator with a Father. And you know something? He's the Father's Son. He's the judge's Son. And He's standing there always to make intercessions to us with the Father. Listen to this. If any man sin, oh, what happens when we're sin? We get brokenhearted over it, don't we? And we go to the Father and we confess our sins to Him. But we need to know, does He hear us? Does He forgive us? Can we know that we're forgiven? And He went on to say this, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's our lawyer. He's the friend of the court on our behalf. And He says, Father, behold my woman and be merciful. Father, behold my side and forgive. Here comes this poor widow. Look at her. Look at her poor countenance, how sad she is. She's broken. What's the matter with her? She sinned. Father, forgive her. Father, hear her. And the Scripture says He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us. We got a friend in the court. Somebody was telling not long ago about this man that had got himself in trouble. And he knew that if he could get to talk with Abraham Lincoln, if I can just get in to see Mr. Lincoln, he said, I know he can straighten all this out for me. But they wouldn't let him in. You can't see President Lincoln. Who are you to think you can get in and see the president? And he stayed outside, waiting, hoping, just to get a word. And he saw this little boy playing out behind the house. And he went up to him and said, "Who are you?" Well, he said, "I'm the president's son." He said, "I want to see the president, but they won't let him in. Won't let me in. They won't hear me." He said, I can get you in. That's my father." And he just took him by the hand and led him right in to where his dad was. And there he stood in the presence of the President of the United States of America. What am I saying? We have a friend in heaven who can get us by the hand, as it were, and take us right to his Father. And he'll say, "Father, these are the ones for whom I've died. These are my friends. Father, hear them for my sake." If she prevailed on this judge without having a friend in the court, don't you think we could prevail with God since we have such a mediator with our Father? Notice this about this poor widow also. She wasn't an eloquent speaker. Her prayer was very brief. Very, very brief. Just 5 words. That's all she said. That's all we got record she ever said. "Avenge me of my adversary." No big words. No eloquent speech. She wasn't concerned about eloquent speech. You know what she's concerned about? Being heard. I went to the Lord in prayer just this week. I tell you what, I could not think of a word. I did not have one word to say. Not a word. I just sat there. And finally I said, "Oh Lord, I don't have a word to say before you. Would you give me a heart? Would you give me a heart?" 5 little words. But you know something? She meant it. Boy, she meant it. Well, you may be here this morning. You may have these dark clouds in your mind. You go to the Lord and you can't think of a word. You can't think of a verse of Scripture. You can't recall a promise. But you're in trouble. Man, you're in trouble. And you say, "Bruce, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray." Well, let me ask you this. What's in your heart? I'm not concerned about eloquence. I'm not concerned about articulation. And you think God is concerned about that? I don't know how to tell him about my need. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray. He knows that. And he's not concerned you coming before him and articulating all of this long speech. Boy, he's interested in the heart. Where's your heart? What do you need? I tell you, some of the shortest prayers in the Scripture have been the most effectual prayers. We've got it right here in this chapter. Look back in this chapter 18. Look here in verse 13. Here's this publican, went up to the temple to pray, this wretched sinner. And look what he said in verse 13. Standing afar off there in the temple, he would not lift so much as his eyes to heaven, but he smote upon his breast. And here's what he said. 7 little words. "God, God." He's going to articulate now. He's going to tell God how he failed in Adam. And how Adam's sin was imputed to him. And he's going to go into great detail. No, he knows nothing about that, brothers and sisters. "God, this is the way I feel. This is coming from my soul, my heart. Be merciful to me, the sinner." And the Scripture says he went down to his house a saved man. What you need? David went to the Lord. He said, "Help, Lord." That's all he knew to pray. "Help, Lord." Peter was sinking in the water and he said, "Lord, save me, I perish." That's all he had time to pray. I tell you, I'm suspicious about people who can just articulate and articulate and articulate, and they go on articulating their prayers. And they're so pretty. But I wonder if God hears them. I tell you, I'd rather have a heart without words is to have a mouth full of words and no heart. Avenge me of my adversary. That's all she could pray. Avenge me. Have mercy on me. Oh, save me. Help me. Lastly is this. The motives of this unjust judge for finally avenging this widow. We find it here in verse 5. He was a bad character, and I tell you, he had bad motives. He gave two motives. Wasn't that he loved her. Wasn't that he cared anything about her, because he didn't. But here in verse 5, he gives two motives for hearing this woman. Yet because this widow troubles me. She troubles him. I tell you what, he'd come to court, and there she was, every morning. Avenge me of my adversary. Before he could sit down and open up the court and find out who was on the docket, there she was. Avenge me! Avenge me! Put that woman out. Get her out of my sight. She's troubling me. Every day she's troubling me. Wouldn't let her back in the courtroom. She'd just wait on him. Wait till he closed the doors and came out. And she stalked his heels all the way down the street. Avenge me! Avenge me! He'd go into the diner to get him a meal. And there she stood pecking on the window. Judge, avenge me! Avenge me! He'd go home. She found out where he lived. He'd hear that rapping on the door. Who in the world is that this late? And he opened up the door, and there she stood. Avenge me of my adversaries. Woman, you're troubling me to death. You're troubling me to death. That's why he answered her prayer. That's what he said. Because she troubles me. And then he went on to say this for the second reason. She's wearing me out. Lest by her continual coming, she weary me. That word there has to do, that word weary, I looked that up, and it has to do with the blacking of the eyes. It's what they do in fights when they box. You ever seen two boxers going at it? And boy, about this 8th or 10th round, you've got this one guy, and this fellow's just beat him up, and he staggers back over to his corner trying to get his breath. That's what this word weary means. It means to black the eyes. To beat one down. That's what she did. She just kept coming, kept coming, kept coming. And finally he says, she's got me beat down. Give her what she wants. That was his motive. Is that the Father's motive in hearing that? No. He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more shall your Father give good things to them that ask Him? He tells us to seek Him. Seek me always. I love to hear you pray. And I love to give you my good things. This poor widow came to a judge that despised her. We come to a Father who loves us. She came without any invitation. You and I can't come with Bible, a whole Bible full of invitations. This woman was held at a distance by this strange judge. You and I are told to draw near to God, and He'll draw near to us. She came without a promise. You and I have a book full of promises. Knock, and it shall be opened. Seek, and you shall find. Ask, and it shall be given you. Call upon me, and I'll answer you. And she was limited when she could come, but we can cry to our Father day and night. And she was far off from him, and he was far off from her in every sense of the word. But the Bible teaches us we have a God who is near us. He's near us. Let us pray and never faint.